Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Don't do me like that, bling. What if I love you, baby? Don't do me like that, wow. Good one. Nice. High fives. What's up, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? I'm your other host, Josh Lee Kwai. Welcome to a very special episode of the podcast. You know, I think everybody who's played Commander for any amount of time has had this situation come up, right?
Yes.
You get this spark of inspiration for a deck. You see a commander or you see a few cards that aren't commanders and you think, I'm going to build a deck around this thing. And you take all this time and effort and you acquire the cards and you put it all together and you play it and...
It's not what you were hoping for. In fact, it actually is everything you don't want to do sometimes. You hate it. You dislike it. And it's a bad feeling.
Yeah. It really is a bad feeling. You spend all that time and effort and then you dislike playing the deck. You realize sometimes it takes a little while because of cognitive dissonance, but you figure out, I really actually don't like this deck. So today we're going to do something interesting. We are going to talk to a bunch of members of our team here at the Command Zone
about every day.
Yep. About decks they built, but ended up hating. And we're hoping that we can kind of learn what the warning signs are so that maybe we can avoid doing that in the future.
Yeah, and it's great. Everyone has really unique stories and perspectives, and actually some of them caught me by surprise because I only have our own experiences to base it off of, so it's great to hear from everyone. But before we get into it, we've got to talk about our sponsors, our brand new sponsor, channelfireball.com/command, or you can just use the code command at checkout. Well, we've been talking about this a lot, but it is still very exciting. They have officially launched their marketplace, which is going to be the place to go if you want to buy any Magic singles or product. Basically, you want a card, you can get it at the marketplace for a great price.
Yeah, marketplaces in general drive prices down because there's a lot of different vendors offering their products and services on that marketplace. So they have to compete with each other, which makes the prices get lower. Also, it means the inventory is very, very high because there's not just one seller. There are tons of sellers there. I mean, I think a lot of people are familiar with online marketplaces. Now, the different thing about Channel Fireball, and we've been talking about this over and over, but I love this about it. They're vetting their vendors. They're checking to make sure they have business licenses, that they are up to a high quality standard. So they're not just letting anybody sell stuff on their site.
Yeah, and a lot of those places selling are actually LGSs. So, you know, if you can't make it out to your local game store, this is a great way to still support that economy. That very vital part of what makes Magic awesome are these stores that, you know, their livelihood depends on us buying cards and stuff off of them. So you're going to get those cards anyway. Just use code command at checkout or go to channelfireball.com/command. And it's Marketplace Madness. They have daily giveaways for every single game that they sell stuff for. And at the end of the month, their grand prizes are sweet.
Yeah, so for the very first month of the Marketplace, which is all of October, every single day they're giving away stuff for people that use the marketplace. Every $10 you spend will enter you to win. Cool. And then at the end of that, they are giving away some really big prizes, the grand prizes. So you can win things like an unlimited Black Lotus, a first edition Charizard, an Alpha Welcome to Wrath box from Flesh and Blood. More stuff available as grand prizes. So It's just definitely, for this month, 100% the best place to buy stuff because, as far as I know, no place else is saying, like, hey, if you buy stuff here, you also have a chance to win a Black Lotus.
Yeah, or any of the other giveaways that they're doing for all of the games that they sell for. And like we mentioned, they do Pokemon, Flesh and Blood, and Magic. So lots of different options there. So make sure you check it out, channelfireball.com/command, or just promo code command when you check out.
And we also have to shout out Ultra Pro, our other sponsor. You know, if you get an unlimited Black Lotus, if you win one some way, you know, I would trust Ultra Pro products to protect that thing. And there's very few products I would trust in that instance. But we've been using Ultra Pro, Jimmy and I, on our own collections for years and years and years. We have big collections. We want to keep our cards in pristine condition, just like everybody out there. Ultra Pro is the best product to protect your game pieces. And not just that. They also make the sharpest looking, coolest products. Like they have...
Their playmats are so good.
Yeah, their playmats are great. They have awesome deck boxes. I love that Mythic collection with the really classic stitching and everything like that. So it's not just high quality. It also looks really cool when you set it down on the table. It makes the opponents go, ooh.
Yeah. And Ultra Pro also, they make those special cases for those very expensive cards that are like clear plastic and will hold it in pristine condition collection forever. So Ultra Pro, they've been doing this. They've been in the game for a long, long time, and they're who you can trust.
Okay, and the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. We really appreciate all our patrons. They help keep all of our content flowing. They get to see things like Game Night Snacks returns earlier than anybody else. And another perk is patrons get, we choose one randomly every single podcast episode to shout out. And this episode is dedicated to
David Axford.
David, you rock.
And one last thing,
real quick,
a new Kickstarter right now for the Token Series 2. Make sure you check it out. It ends at the end of the month. Once it is done, you cannot get it anymore. These are some of the most used tokens with our awesome faces emblazoned on them as iconic creatures. And if you're a Game Nights fan, you're going to know exactly where these references are from. We also have a cool playmat, two-sided, that comes along with this at certain tiers. So just make sure you check that out. All the links are going to be in the show more box below the video.
Yeah, limited edition. Order now. Okay, let's go into the main topic here. Sorry, that part took just a little bit longer than we wanted to. A lot to talk about these days. All right, main topic though. Decks we built, but hated.
Yeah.
So our team at the Command Zone's gotten pretty large. I think we just brought on, or are bringing on Monday, we have one person joining that is like our 17th or 18th member of the team,
almost
maybe.
20. We're almost out of our teens. Crazy.
The great thing is that like the vast majority of them are Commander players. Mm-hmm. So we thought this episode would be a great way to sort of tap into that group knowledge, learn about the decks that everybody here has built and hated, and all. It'll help us maybe identify, steer clear of, like, you know, doing that in the future. So I definitely don't want to acquire a bunch of cards that I don't use.
And I've done this too recently. Yeah. I've been playing for 8 years now and I've still make this mistake. And this is great advice if you know someone that's just getting into the game. You're about to give them a pre-con. Maybe they can avoid some of the common pitfalls.
And we also thought this would be a cool way to sort of hopefully introduce some of our new team members and our old team members to you here by getting to hear from them. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through and we're going to talk to individual team members just for a few minutes about, you know, the deck they've identified. Some people have, this has happened more than once, myself, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're just going to talk about one of their decks to kind of get an idea for what types of decks maybe are warning signs for stuff you might build and end up hating. So Jimmy and I are going to individually interview not all our members of the team, but a lot of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to start up with the person I think whose idea this topic was originally, which is Jake Boss.
Ooh, let's take it away.
All right. Do you want to introduce yourself to everyone?
Hey, everybody. I'm Jake. I'm post-production supervisor on Game Nights. And we do a lot of editing on Game Nights.
Yeah. Post-production soup, editing, also has directed some episodes of Game Nights.
That's right. That's important.
Yeah. Jake does a lot around here. Jake, how long have you been a member of the Command Zone team?
I started in July of 2019 and moved down here from Portland, and it was the best decision I ever made.
So a little over 2 years.
Wow. And it's
crazy.
Gone really well, yeah.
We agree. It has gone very, very well. Jake, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player?
As a Magic player, I'm definitely more of a Johnny combo type. I like to see something cool happen, and I don't really care who wins. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to do things that are like Possibility Storm that chaos up the game or anything.
But you like to have an idea that maybe puts together a combination of cards that people haven't seen before, that kind of Johnny?
For sure. Sometimes I'll reach for a more obscure commander, but what I like to do is take a good commander and do something a little bit more interesting, add a bit of English to the strategy. That's pretty accepted.
Cool. All right. So let's go over the deck that you built that you ended up hating.
Yeah, so a really good example of putting your own English on a common strategy is Enchantress. The commander I chose for this deck is Omnath, Locus of Creation.
So you built Enchantress, Omnath, which Enchantress itself is not necessarily a strategy we haven't seen, but you usually don't see Omnath at the head of that strategy.
Yeah, I didn't want to go five color because I felt like that's
a thing.
Everything. You know, that's not fair.
Golos Enchantress, I've seen that.
Yeah,
well,
as an artist, you want limitations. That's where creativity happens.
Right.
So you just take out black and now you're an artist.
Oh, so it's kind of like Enchantress, but I get red.
But I get red, yes. And there are fun enchantments like Fevered Visions and they're Rite of the Raging Storm.
Man.
Yeah, there's awesome enchantments in red. But it kind of became If You Give a Mouse a Cookie for me. So
Yeah, let's talk about why you ended up disliking it. Because honestly, sounds fun.
So you play an enchantment, you draw a card.
Yeah.
Why not do that more? So there's cards like Teferi's Aegis Insight, which will double up your card draw. You play more Enchantress cards, and you just end up playing an enchantment, drawing 8 cards. Play another enchantment, draw 16 cards. And then Omnath kind of wants it to be a lands deck, too. So you've got all these things. Why don't you just play the lands and get the value and all this stuff? And it just got away from me because if you're drawing all these cards, why not win with Approach of the Second Sun? That's not fun to win with because it just says you win the game on it. Game's over for everybody. It's not really a good time. Or you win with Opalescence, but that's kind of a glass cannon strategy that can just wreck you. Or you deck yourself and win with Labman or Thassa's Oracle. It's just not a clean way to win the game that leaves everybody satisfied. And they have to watch me spinning my wheels a ton before they're able to do anything.
Yeah, I'd say it happens with a lot of Enchantress decks. If what you're describing sounds like kind of like, I spin my wheels a lot,
yeah,
and I don't win.
Yeah, something that you say to us all the time is the juice worth the squeeze? And if I'm drawing, you know, 93 cards just to potentially get a win, it's not worth it to me.
So yeah, do you remember the moment where you decided, like, I don't like this?
Yes, actually, we were playing at a party one time, and there was a game that I really wanted to get in with Post Malone. Oh. And I knew his pod was wrapping up, so I'm like, I gotta get out of this pod.
You're like, I cannot win.
I decided to draw my entire deck, and when you're able to decide this game is over, I'm just gonna mill myself. Like, I'm gonna draw 60 cards this turn. Well, guess I lose. Bye, guys. That deck probably isn't that great.
So you did that, and that made you decide, like, oh, I don't need this deck anymore. What happened to the deck? Like, do you salve it? Still have it?
It turned into a Kneos and Tyro tokens deck that I played on extra turns. It's a hidden Bruticlad commander deck now. Okay. So
it has some of the same elements, but it's a totally different deck.
Exactly. The Kneos and Tyro, they love drawing cards and they love playing extra lands. So there's a little bit of those remnants in there. And then
Enchantress anymore.
No, the Enchantress side turned into Sithis Harvest Hand, which is much more limited in Selesnya. So you get to be a real artist.
You get to be a real artist.
Yeah, you're constrained by limitations. It's important.
It's very important.
All right, we are joined by the one and only Ashlyn Rose. Ashlyn, say hello and let everyone know what you do here at the Command Zone and how long you've been here for.
What's up, everyone?
Yeah.
It's good to be back. what do? I'm an editor here at the Command Zone. Mm-hmm. I also help with a lot of the production for our special projects, like the D&D thing you may have saw before the
Silver Quill promos, all that good stuff. How long have you been here for?
Oh my gosh, 4 years now, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has been. I've been very lucky to be your friend for all that time and to get to work with you. So it's been a blessing. Now, Ashlyn, how would you describe yourself? Now, people watching probably will know, but how would you describe yourself as a Magic player? What makes you happy?
All right, first, in the chat, I want to see in the chat, like we're streaming, hey, in the comments, I would love to see what you all think I am as a player, but I would consider myself a big splashy player. I love big creatures, mm-hmm. big cool spells. I don't really care about the value long term. I just want to do something cool.
Right. Eldrazi is the word that comes to mind for me. So big, scary creatures and all that stuff is a little bit more on the Timmy side, less on the value spiky side, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I can definitely identify with that. All right, so what is a deck that you built in the past but have ended up disliking or hating or whatever word you want to put for it?
Yeah, so I still have the deck actually, but the deck I've built that has definitely gathered some dust on the shelf these days is going to be a Rabo, Roar of the Wild World.
Kitty Tribal, then.
Kitty Tribal, right. Yes.
So why'd you build a deck originally?
Because I love kitties. I have two kitties of my own. They are on stream all the time showing their butts and wanting scritches. But the deck itself, the way I built it with the Kitty Tribal, it's super good. It gets like really big kitties, really buff, swole kitties, but it's so much math.
Oh, okay.
So much math.
Right. So it's a lot of brain power. When you first built the deck, when did you realize, like, you know what? I don't actually like playing this deck.
Way too late in the game. Like, I completely built the deck. I've been playing it like 4 or 5 times. And like, I realized maybe the fourth game when everyone's kind of just like sitting there twiddling their thumbs while I'm like, okay, I've almost got the math here.
Right.
That like, this was not for me.
Right. But the cats are super cute. So is that what drew you to the deck originally? It was just the sort of the theme of it all?
Yeah. I mean, I love doing themed decks as well. Themed Eldrazi, mm-hmm. themed ninjas, kitties. So I definitely wanted to go with kitty power. And it's powerful. But, oh my gosh, so much math.
Do you think you'd ever, like, retool the deck into something that is more akin to your playstyle and involves a little less mental work?
I think it's very possible. I think that there's definitely been new things printed since I built this. It was a long time ago.
Right, when the precon came out,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. So I think there's definitely a chance for that to happen. Arabo still kind of plays into that with, like, the plus 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 the imminence ability on Arabo, yeah. But there's still a chance, I think, for Kitty to come back.
Now, when you did play this deck, is it a deck that won, or is it, did you even find it didn't win because maybe you got frustrated with all the stuff you had to think about when you're attacking and stuff?
It definitely won. Okay. Yeah. It was one of the decks that kind of hung back for a while, and then at the end, it's like, oh, all my cats get plus plus, and right. Yeah.
And getting trample, and they're huge, and all that stuff. Now, do you have, you know, do you think that this is a deck that you will still bring out, or is it just going to sit in the corner with dust?
I think it's going to sit in the corner for a while, yeah. Until I feel like I want to buff it up. Right now, I'm just distracted with all the other goodies, like my Essex deck, and
yes, that's right.
Those other fun, splashy things, but eventually...
So that's cool. I actually think you're actually one of the more unique cases because most people built decks either was like really early on in their career for Magic and they didn't really know what they're doing, put too much other stuff in that didn't work. But this is a deck that works, is powerful, but just actually ends up being too much work at the table. And I can totally see why that makes sense because after like three or four games, you're just kind of wiped. You don't want to play a deck that's going to require you to think a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's a problem when other people are helping you do the math just to hurry the turn along.
They're like, hold on. Maybe if you did that, yeah. You could then attack. Did that happen a bunch too?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, no, you're actually getting plus this. And you're like, okay, I'm so sorry. I'm going to play a different deck now.
Would this be a deck that you wouldn't lend this deck to a new player then, would you?
Oh, absolutely.
Even though it's a really
not.
Basic deck in a lot of ways, it's just creature-based strategy, but it's not something you'd be like, hey, check it out.
No, totally not. Because not only are you putting like plus one counters on cards, you also have the whole like, until end of turn, this gets plus.
Yeah. And that's just trample and all those things, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much to keep track of.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, though. It's a really unique case. The fact that you still have the deck. Also, I think almost everyone else has disassembled the decks that they don't like anymore. So that's really great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashlyn, for telling us about Arabo, Roar of the World. Yeah. I think it's Roar of the Wild, too. I think it's probably because I'm thinking about Zelda.
You know what? I totally think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, Ashlyn. It was good to hear about the deck.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we are here with, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. I'm Murph. You probably have seen me around. So I edit game nights, extra turns, been on some gameplay shows, been on the podcast before.
You've definitely been in a lot of the ads and stuff. Yeah. I'm sure you know who Murph is. But yeah, it's good for you to explain that what you do here. Murph is primarily a game nights editor and also kind of post-production supervisor on extra turns recently. So he's in charge of that. Murph, how long have you worked for us?
A little over 3 years now.
Wow, over 3 years. So definitely a longtime member of the team. Murph, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player?
I'm a Magic player that likes building things unique. We did an episode a while ago now where we talked about the most unique commanders and decks and stuff like that. So I like to think out of the box a little bit, try to be a little bit cute with the stuff that I try to build. I don't know.
You're a little bit of a Magic hipster.
A little bit of a Magic hipster.
What was the commander you played on the most recent episode of Extra Turns?
At this point,
was it Ramsey's?
Ramsey's Overdark, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to put that on screen because most of you probably don't know what that card is.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about today. We are talking about what is a deck that you built at some point and then ended up disliking.
Yeah. So the deck that I built and ended up disliking was Azmira, Holy Avenger.
All right, read that card because I have no idea what it does. This true hipster.
Yeah, so it is a 4-mana creature, 2 green and a white, 2/3, I believe it's an angel, says summon legend on it.
Probably got it ratted.
Yeah, flying, at the end of each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Azmira, Holy Avenger, for each creature put into your graveyard from play that turn. So that happens at the end of each turn. If something on your board died, Azmira gets a +1/+1 counter, but only at end of turn.
But for each of the creatures.
For each of the creatures.
So if you could somehow sack like 10 creatures, then at the end of that turn, Azmira would get +10/+10.
Yeah. So I thought that would be kind of cool that, well, let's try to do an aristocrat strategy in green and white, because that's not something that you really see super often.
Okay, so we already know the outcome. What didn't you like about it?
Well, now you know why you never see green-white aristocrat deck. There's a reason nobody builds it. And I'm assuming that just because I said that, it's going to be a challenge to everybody out there to try to build a green-white aristocrat deck. Yeah, but the problem with it is the text on it, it only triggers on end step. So it's really clunky because when it gets to your turn, you can't really like sack a bunch of stuff and attack with it. You have to wait a whole turn rotation for it to actually do anything. So oftentimes it'll just sit there, spin its wheels a little bit and not really do anything. But there are a couple pieces in there that are incredibly powerful, like Lifeline. But the problem with it is that at the end of each player's turn, that's when you get the plus one counters. So on your turn, if you do a bunch of cool stuff, you'll get a ton of plus one counters on his mirror, but only at end of turn. So you can't attack or do anything really cool with it that turn.
So you kind
of
got to play as Mira, do the thing, and then wait a whole rotation.
Yeah.
If you do a bunch of scary stuff, people are going to be like, yeah, yo, kill that thing.
Yeah, people are just going to try to kill me, kill the thing, shut down my engines, whatnot, what have you.
Do you remember the moment that you kind of discovered? Was it the very first time you played the deck, or did you try it a number of times?
It was absolutely the very first time that I played the deck. I played the deck. I got so excited to build the deck. I even got an OG Duelist Savannah for it,
because
I was sure that it was going to work.
So, yeah, you put
I goldfished it on Tapped Out, and was like, this is gonna work. And then I played it in person against my brother and did not work. It just flopped hard, did absolutely nothing. And so I thought, okay, well, it just had a bad showing, we'll try again. Played a couple more games with it, still did nothing. I thought, okay, well, maybe I can go back, get another few more pieces. Did another card order, swapped out about 15 cards.
Oh, so you tried to optimize it.
Oh, yeah. I tried to optimize it. I was like super, super intent on getting this thing to work.
How long did you say that you tried to make it work before you decided, like, this is not going to work?
Like a month and a half or so. Eventually, I realized that, because I did put some good pieces in it, but those good pieces would either just make the deck ridiculously powerful if I drew that one or two pieces, or the deck would do nothing. So it didn't really have a home at any table, was the problem.
Right, so it was either too powerful, it felt like, or just didn't do anything?
Exactly.
So let me ask you, I mean, I guess we know because it looks like it's kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
But what happened to the deck?
The deck is still there. My intention was to pull it apart, but I don't really need the pieces for anything. So it's just kind of been sitting there for like a year, year and a half or something, and I haven't really done anything with it.
But you don't play it, you don't like bring it to Commander
Night? It's not in my deck box. It's just sitting off to the side with my collection of cards. It exists.
Well, I'm sorry. Rip as Mira.
Rip as Mira.
Everyone say hello to Jamie. Jamie, you're brand new here at the Command Zone, so you want to introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Sure. Hello, everyone. I am Jamie. I am a new staff writer here. This is my fourth week, I believe.
Wow.
So what I do here is, you know, I write a lot of the mid-roll ads that you guys see, and then just sort of anything else that has a script that might be forthcoming, I'll be working on that as well.
Have you enjoyed your time thus far? It's been a hot, fast month so far.
I have, yes. It has been a roller coaster in the best possible way. But no, just a great team to be a part of. Super excited to be here.
And we're glad to have you. So, Jamie, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player? What sort of are your favorite things to do or play the game?
My favorite kind of game is the game where everyone gets to do what they want to do.
Uh-huh.
But then I win. But no, as long as everyone gets to have fun, no one's just completely out of the game, I'm going to have a good time. I definitely just sort of feed off the energy of other people having good time. But yeah, as far as my own decks, I just like to do things that have a pretty gradual value engine, not a ton of building toward an infinite combo, but just a steady value engine that gets to do something cool and ideally unique from a lot of other decks out there.
Okay, so do you ever feel bad when you have to like team up on someone and have them have less fun?
It depends how far ahead they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if it's taking down an arch enemy, like, yes, please, I'm all in on that.
Okay.
But if it's a situation where we're just worried someone might become a threat.
You're not going to be proactive on that side.
Exactly.
Good to know. That's great. Okay, so let us know, what is a deck that you built but dislike or hate?
Yes, I built Grothama All-Devouring.
Ooh, I've always wanted to build this deck.
Well, you would do it better than I did it 3 years ago.
Okay, why is that?
I saw the card and instantly just sort of fell in love with the idea of all the weird things that it can do.
Okay.
Just a completely different, sort of unintuitive immediately mechanic with all the fighting.
Right.
And just thought, oh, there's got to be some crazy things that you can do with this.
You said meme-y when we were talking about it downstairs, like a meme, right?
Yeah. It's just, there are a lot of meme strategies you can do. So you can do things where you get value from it fighting your creatures. There are things you can do where you get value from it fighting your opponent's creatures if for some reason they do that.
Yeah. And you like unique decks, like you said, so this had an opportunity for you to make that.
Yeah, exactly. The problem came up with me trying to make it unique in too many different directions at once.
Ah, I see. Yep. over sort of spreading yourself too thin across a lot of strategies.
Exactly. I would say that this deck had at minimum 10 different strategies that it was trying to pull off.
Wow.
Each of which involved two or three specific cards that it had very few ways to find.
Okay.
You just sort of hoped that you drew into one of the memes.
And you would also get the other parts of the meme to make it full.
Exactly. And then, of course, even if it were to have cobbled together one of these memes, it probably wouldn't win.
So it really was just kind of like a deck that had a lot of cool ideas, but not that finishing power. And did you find that you had fun, like you said, and win the game with it ever?
No. It was fun, maybe for the moments of physically drawing a card, thinking, oh, what if this is the card that I need?
I see.
And then it never was.
I see, yeah.
So, yeah, it was, I will say, it was a very fun deck to build. Mm-hmm. It was a fun deck to come up with the cards for, think of all the interactions that Grothama can have.
I see.
But it just didn't come together into something that executed in a fun way.
Yeah, yeah. That research part, I mean, I love building decks too, but when you actually got down to shuffling it, it just didn't come together, I guess.
Yeah. I think that if I were to build it now, again, and just focus in on two or three of those memes, mm-hmm. and actually commit to making them work, it could be something that still probably wouldn't be the most competitive deck, because that's never what it was trying to do, but at least something that would be fun to pilot.
More consistent, yeah. Mm-hmm. And green has tons of creature tutors and ramp and all that stuff, so did you at least have some of those components in the original version?
I definitely had ramp, though it was admittedly not the best ramp suite that was available then.
I see.
Certainly not the best ramp suite that would be available now. But as for card draw, it was there a little bit. As for tutors, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But given how much the deck relied on getting specific cards, it did not have enough ways to find them.
Yeah. And where is the deck now? I'm assuming not put together.
No, the deck is fully disassembled. It went into a pile, and then it went into a binder. And now a few cards have made it into other decks I've built since that have green in them. And most are just sitting in some pages of a binder waiting for me to find another mono green commander. And then I'll only have to get maybe a third to half of the cards, because half of them I have already.
There you go. That sounds like the normal course for a lot of decks' lifespans. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks, Jamie, for sharing. That was great.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, do you want to introduce yourself to the audience out here?
Sure. Hey, my name is Arthur Meadowcroft. I'm an editor on the Command Zone podcast. I've been editing for about a year. I never thought I'd be here, but I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm learning so much every day and having a great time.
It's almost exactly a year, right? November of last year that?
November 1st I started.
Almost exactly a year. Yes, Arthur, you're going to get the weird experience of editing yourself on this episode, which most people do not like. You're going to tell that thing to me that everybody says, which is like, I can't stand listening to my own voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me, you do get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah. I know from experience. Arthur, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player? What kind of Magic player are you?
I'd say I'm a bit of a Timmy. I really like to cast big, splashy spells. And if I make it to the late game, then I'm having a good time.
So you want to cast something that everybody goes, whoa, holy crap.
Yeah, I like to go, whoa, holy crap. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about a deck that you once built but found out that you hated.
Sure. So I'd like to talk about my Morophon the Boundless deck.
Okay.
I built it as an elf tribal, kind of like a bounce house. I tried to get out Cloudstone Curio and then cast low-cost elves that would essentially cost zero because the Wooburg cost would be less.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Morophon would reduce it by green, so they cost zero.
Yes.
That sounds like a cool idea. Why didn't you like it?
So the high end of the deck was that I'd have out like a Guardian Project or a Zendikar Resurgent, and then I'd just be just spinning wheels, and it was either that or I would be sandbagging my favorite elf cards and casting them all on one turn. And so it was either go through my whole deck or wait for the ideal turn to pop off.
So it either didn't do anything or it did the spinning the wheels thing. It sounds like maybe you had that problem where it spun its wheels and had trouble like figuring out how I was going to win. Is that a thing?
No. So the trajectory the deck went in is that I ended up winning with Thassa's Oracle. And so, yeah, pretty much it was kind of just a trajectory that led to me adding in tutors, doing Thassa's Oracle and winning. And so the redeeming arc of this, though, is I still have the deck. I took it apart. I did hate it for that reason, but I didn't want to give up on it.
Well, so the reason you hated it is it was just going too much towards CEDH?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you still have it?
Yeah. So I'm trying to make it with the Forgotten Realms coming out. There were a lot of new Wooburg elves, and that made me really happy because I wanted to revisit it and try to stray away from that win the game with Thassa's Oracle. Yeah.
So now you're trying to actually use the elves from the other colors and just get the value of the mana from Morphon?
Definitely. Yeah, like Shaman of the Pack isn't from Forgotten Realms, but that's a really fun one. Drizzt Do'Urden is really cool because that can cost three colorless now.
Oh, that's...
Or three colorless, yeah.
So you want to make it into sort of more of a true elf deck. Are you like, you're just working on the deck right now? It's not ready to play, or have you played it?
Yeah, I played it. It's kind of funny because you can add in so many different legendary elves that people are confused. Like Craig one time walked by and saw me playing and was just trying to figure out because I had Azuri Renegade Leader out. I had Salvala Explorer Return. Like,
who's at the head of this deck? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so
that's cool. So you were able to pivot off of sort of that path that was making you dislike the deck and sort of turn it into something that you like a little more now.
Yeah, and that's one reason I love Commander, is that there's an avenue for everyone, no matter who the commander is. Like, you can dislike it and then think about what you like as a player. And for me, it's just big cards. So I add in more the high cost elves, and I'm less concerned with just trying to spin out all these low cost elves and instead add in the big fun ones like Drizzt Do'Urden, for example.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's up? This is Mr. Jordan Pridgen. Jordan, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them what you do here at the Command Zone.
Hi, everybody. I am a writer and ad producer here on the channel. I write and make a lot of the like mid-roll ads that you see. And I also write some of the extra content, like the Strixhaven commercials and the AFR, like little classes playing Dungeons & Dragons sketch and stuff.
Yeah, some of our finest work, by the way. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So how long have you been here at the Command Zone?
I've been here about a year now.
Wow, that's crazy. Time flies. Okay, Jordan, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player when it comes to it?
I am definitely a Johnny. Like, I like having, like, complicated decks, and I like them having, like, systems that I have to understand and work through and like, do that. But I also really like the sort of threat answer interaction of Magic. I really like having to fight my way through the other people's board state and play a lot of interaction, a lot of that sort of thing. I like to earn my wins.
So you're kind of like the threat assessment police almost. Do you find yourself convincing other people like, hey, you got to take care of that thing first?
I definitely do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, why am I the only one who's dealing with anything?
Yeah, I feel that way quite often too, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when it comes to it, then what is a deck that you built but ended up just disliking, hating, or whatever?
So I built Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer.
Slinking Sorcerer.
Yeah.
As the prof put it when he played it, yeah.
And I was excited to build the deck because I was there at like Gen Con when they like announced like, oh, you know, Morph is going to be one of the themes for the next one.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, that's so cool. Think of all the like different things you can do. And I got the pre-con and then I upgraded it and I put it together like kind of how I wanted it to be. And I like played it once and I hated it.
Wait, you only played it once and you hated it?
Yeah. And I bet if I had like kept playing it more times, I would have like started to like it more. But like, I just did not want to play it anymore.
Bad first impression.
Well, and here's why. Because, you know, you play the deck and you're playing all these morph cards face down. And I would have like six or seven face down cards. And someone would play something and be like, any response? And I'd be like, I don't know. Give me a sec.
Hold on. And you had to look at each card.
And I have to check all the cards that were down. And I just know myself. And I like assessing the board state. I like figuring out what's going on there.
Yeah.
But like, I cannot remember this information that is face down.
Right.
You know, especially when there's like all that stuff. Even little details like, oh, how much does it cost to like flip Wheelbender and things like that? Sure, that's on the simpler side of things, but when there's like 6 to 8 of those on the board that you're trying to deal with all the time, it was just like a nightmare.
Yeah, so a lot of information retention, and again, you're someone that does like to be that person responding to the threats and dealing with all those threats, but you already have enough information in your hand that knowing all that stuff hidden as well.
Exactly, because you're still trying to assess what everyone else has on their board, and you have your cards in your hand, and I thought it would be cool to be like, ah, I have all these tricky little onboard trap cards.
Right.
But what I found out is, like, it was just, like, decision paralysis for me all the time.
Oh. Are you a Yu-Gi-Oh fan?
I used to like the show. I've never played the game.
Well, I guess not, because you couldn't play the trap card version of it. It wasn't appealing to you, right?
It's true. It would have been a problem. Also, when I was a kid, I was, like, very loyal to the idea of Magic the Gathering. And Yu-Gi-Oh felt like it was competing with Magic the Gathering.
So you were like, no, Yu-Gi-Oh.
So I was like, no, I'm on Magic side.
You're a Magic purist, huh?
Yeah.
So what happened to the Kadena deck? Is it still around?
I still I still have it
somewhere.
I'm not sure where, because I like didn't double sleeve it. I've never gone back and like really like rearranged the cards. And it also is a case where Kadena's like a specialty enough commander that I didn't need to like pull the cards out.
Stuff. There's so much stuff already built in there that the deck was pretty, because you didn't do a huge upgrade to them, assuming.
No, but I put in a lot of the cards, like that one card that's like something key that makes it cost less to morph stuff.
Right, right.
And a bunch of like solid morph and megamorph creatures and things like that. Besides that, it wasn't like loaded with my Cyclonic Rifts and Mana Crypts or anything like
all
that.
You're like, yeah, yeah. So it was just like a slight upgrade. So it didn't feel that bad then. Did you like feel pangs of guilt when you're like, okay, you got to go, Kadena. I don't like you anymore.
You know, it just, I kind of pushed it aside because I was like, you make me feel like an idiot. I feel bad at Magic when I'm playing you.
Right, and you want to feel good at Magic because, again, you are Mr. Threat Assessment. So yes. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, Jordan, thanks for sharing. Very much appreciated. And good note to take, don't build any more Morph decks because there's just too much to keep track of.
Look, I know a lot of people love Kadena. Just wasn't for me.
Yeah. And that's how it goes. All right, thanks, Jordan.
All right, and now we're here with Shauna. Shauna, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Shauna Gillis. I'm a recent junior video editor on the Command Zone here, and it's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, you've only been with us for, well, it's not even months, it's weeks at this point,
right? It's 2 weeks, Josh.
It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Welcome to the team.
Sure.
We're excited to have you. Shauna, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player?
So my playgroup mainly plays CDH, so that I know that's not the case here as much, but within that kind of faction, I'm mostly a control player.
So you're a control CEDH player?
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool. That's not how we play here, so now I'm scared. No, it's totally fine. It'll be fine. I have a Teferi Chainveil deck, so, you know, it should be okay, right? I can play that against you. Let's talk about a deck that you once built that you ended up disliking. This is actually going to be really interesting, because you're right, most of the people we've talked to are not CEDH players.
Sure.
So, what is a deck you built once, and then as you played it, you found out you did not like playing it?
Sure. So, like Jimmy, I just played against Jimmy's Paco Haldan deck, and I actually built one of those for CEDH. And the one for CEDH is pretty Voltron heavy. He mostly presents a threat early, and then he's your main win condition. You do have like a Seasons Past combo that you can kind of win through, give yourself infinite mana, infinite turns. But he mainly wins through combat damage. And so,
you mean Jimmy's deck?
So, no. So Jimmy's deck wins.
So Paco wins through combat damage.
Yeah, I would say that Paco Haldan in general wins through combat damage. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen a deck, or I would build the deck, where he isn't your main win condition. Uh-huh. And essentially what the CDH version of the deck does is uses Seasons Past and like a 5-mana extra turn spell, Temporal Trespass, like, to give yourself extra turns, infinite mana.
So this is a known deck that you built.
It's so there's a pretty well-known CDH database that has a good list of everything that the database approves, and it's on there. So it's, I wouldn't say it's common. I've seen it twice in my playgroup, including mine, but it does pretty well just because the deck is so resilient, and if you keep, essentially, you can do nothing else but keep playing Paco and continuously present a threat. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so what made you dislike it?
So the main thing that Paco does is it uses Haldan to steal advantage from other decks. So every time he attacks, you exile a card off of everyone's library, and you can essentially use that to, with Haldan, build a second hand for yourself. So in CDH, you're going to see a lot of 1-mana spell removals, 1-mana counters, stuff like that. And it essentially just gives you a second hand that you can use to...
That sounds good, though.
It does sound good, but it's just the kind of... I learned, obviously, that was my incentive for building the deck, but I learned that stealing advantage from other players does not feel good, especially if a lot of times in CDH decks, people will run 29, 30 lands right on the curve.
So if you just happen to exile off a couple lands, they can just be mana screwed?
If someone's waiting on a land and they're waiting for one of their 29 lands, they're just screwed for the rest of the game.
Okay, well, this is really interesting to me because I think we have a view of CDH players as like only trying to win and not so much worrying about like if your opponents are having fun, since the goal of that format seems to be to win. But this is evidently not true, and I have a misconception.
Definitely not true. It is a little bit more of, there's an understanding that the point is to win. It's a little more hardcore. But if you brought Godo to the table, he just slaps Helm of the Host down and wins. Usually presents a win turn 2, turn 3.
Right.
That is not fun. So this is a general feeling in my playgroup.
Right.
The most fun CDH game is one that is very interaction heavy, and it lasts 6 to 8 turns. Nobody wants to sit down, shuffle up, and then play 2 turns and then redo it.
So that you're spending more time shuffling than playing?
Exactly. So, Paco...
So Paco and Haldan, you disliked it because it was too mean, kind of?
I would say so. It's so disruptive to the point where you can essentially put yourself into a 3-player game because you either take this guy's lands and he's not playing the game. And 3-person games, as I'm sure you know from casual, just builds like this really weird dynamic that can easily king-make someone else. So it can be really, it can go well, but generally I just kind of learned that I like those toolboxy decks where I build my advantage by myself. I'm not taking from other players. I can essentially just play solitaire by myself and...
It's kind of who gets there first and you're not stopping them as much.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what happened to the Paco Haldan deck? Do you still have it?
No, I ended up taking it apart just because...
So you committed to, I do not like this and I'm just done with it.
Yeah, no, I definitely like the controlling types. Paco is just a little too Voltron for me. I'm playing Niv-Mizzet Payroom right now, which you can argue is kind of Voltron-y because the deck spins wheels off of him. But... I definitely don't like the type that I'm just going to play this card and attack you a bunch, and if he gets removed, I'm going to wait to play him again, and that's it. So Niv-Mizzet is definitely a little bit more interactive, a little bit more toolboxy.
Okay, very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. Which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right, I'm here with Gaurav. Gaurav, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Gaurav Gulati, and I am a editor here. I've worked here since April of this year, 2021, and mostly I work on the ads here. So if you've seen any of the ads, which I don't know if this is before the mid-roll or after, but I don't know.
We currently do not know. Well, presumably, they've watched more than just this video of ours.
Yes. I've worked on the ads here and a few of the special projects we've done here, like some of the Strixhaven stuff and the AFR stuff that we did.
Oh, yeah, the D&D, the tavern video that Jimmy and I were talking about. Talking to the D&D characters.
Yeah. As well as the Learn to Play video, which was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. You've only been here since April?
I know, right? It feels super weird.
You said 2021. I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
But I guess it was true. Feels like you've been here for a long time.
Time is wild now.
Gaurav's just fit right in. Gaurav, what kind of Magic player would you say you are?
So I would say I'm probably mostly a Johnny with bits of spikiness in there, but I love building a little engine that you can see little pieces go from top to bottom and hitting little slots.
So you like building Rube Goldberg machines?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love watching and building those. So if anybody else does that on the table, I'm just like super satisfied by that happening.
You're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it, but you are. Yeah. That's cool.
I'm probably going to lose, but it's fun.
All right. Well, let's talk about a deck that you built but found out that you hated it.
Yes. So a deck I built, and this was pretty early on my EDH career. This was like 4 or 5 years ago when I had my first play group and I was starting out on Commander. I built a Zedru the Greathearted deck, which is a Jeskai deck that is basically this card gives permanence to other players that usually don't help them. The way I built it is that some of them did help. So at the start, I was like, I'm helping everyone. But eventually they're like, wait, a lot of these don't help me as much as they're helping the person who's playing Zedru, which I get to draw a card and gain life based on how many permanents other people control.
So you give them like Howling Mines maybe. And then you give them the ones that deal 20 damage to them or whatever.
Right. So like one card that I used like Statecraft was basically prevents combat damage from the person who has that. So I would give it to somebody, and if they had an aggro deck, like they do nothing then basically, unless they can get rid of the enchantment, which is hard for them to do most of the time because they're playing an aggro deck. So,
oh yeah, there's that other card that like you don't take damage, but you don't have no draw step kind of stuff. That kind of stuff.
Stuff like that.
So, what made you want to build this Zedrud group hug deck?
So before that, I had basically just made precons and kind of upgraded them, and I was looking online for other cards that were really weird, and someone had talked about this card and the potential it had to make a sort of group hug deck that is super political, and I had not made a political deck, one that makes deals and stuff. And like I said, it was very early in my career playing Commander, so I wanted to build something that was very different and required me to like talk to other players and make deals. Turns out the playgroup I was with didn't like politicians very much and figured out that they were scheming liars most of the time. And after a couple games, they were like, oh, I know what this deck does. I'm just going to kill you first most of the time.
I'm not going to talk back to you. I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah. So it just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And I think if I rebuilt it, it might be very different now, because now I have a playgroup that I think would appreciate that.
That's our playgroup, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, I think that's the thing, is like this deck wasn't great for that playgroup and probably wasn't super optimized either. But at the same time, like depending on the playgroup I would play with, maybe they would like it more. Maybe it would work out well.
Mm. So it was the type of deck that needed certain kind of opponents or a certain kind of culture among your playgroup for it to really work.
Yeah, it also like it also did kind of make games a bit longer than people liked, which I didn't know at the time was a bad thing.
Right.
I know now, like going a game going 3 hours like isn't everybody's cup of tea, and not even mine at this point. Like, right. I'd rather get more games than longer games.
Interesting. So what happened to the deck? Is it still put together, or is it?
It is still put together for the most part. I've taken powerful cards out of it because I had like land tax and some other cards that were like really, really good. So I just put them in other decks. But I think it's like 80% still there. So I can still maybe bring it back at some point.
So like it's sitting there sort of half disassembled in the corner somewhere?
Yeah, I have it in a box. It's labeled. It's
I guess a lot of those Zedrud cards are just not useful anywhere else. So it's not like.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of them just don't apply for other decks. It's a very specific kind of deck. So they're going to be in there unless I find a different deck. I don't think anything else works with it though.
Yeah, so do you think you'll put it back together?
I think I will. Now that I've looked, Josh asked me like, hey, talk about decks that don't work. So I started looking into this, and a lot of cards have come out that make this deck way more fun and weird and do strange things. So I kind of do want to rebuild it now.
I don't know if we did the right thing here. We might have talked him into rebuilding the deck that he doesn't like.
It's gonna be great. I'm very happy. Maybe an extra turns or something. We'll see. Yeah.
All right, we are joined now by Damon. Damon, you're brand new here at the Command Zone, so why don't you introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Of course. So my name is Damon Lenz. I'm a junior editor here at the Command Zone. I just started here about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
From the time of this recording. So, really excited to work here. And I've been a fan of your guys' content since basically the beginning.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I remember just looking at when you guys just had generic magic art up on the screen. And I remember like the first time I saw your guys' faces, like I knew you from VGHS, but seeing Josh for the first time, that was really interesting. So
that's fun. Yeah, I remember that when we decided like, we're going to do video now, and we're like, are we video people? I'm like, I guess we are, because Josh had always worked behind the camera as well.
Right.
So Damon, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player? What are your favorite colors? What's your favorite style? All that.
Got it. All right. So my favorite color by far is blue.
Nice.
I'm definitely a control player at heart, but I'm the kind of guy where it's like, I'll figure out how to win later on. As long as I'm drawing cards, then I'm having a great time. When I'm not playing control, though, I lean very heavily into tribal decks.
Oh, cool. So. What's your favorite tribe, if you had to name one?
My favorite tribe is definitely vampires. I started playing Magic in original Innistrad and just fell in love with the way that they designed the vampires entirely. Other than that, probably where werewolves.
So. I do love vampires as well. So, wow, you just love Innistrad then.
I do. I'm a huge fan of Innistrad.
It's a good time for you to be a Magic player right now.
Exactly, yep.
Okay, so what is a deck that you built but now hate, don't have, or dislike?
Got it. Well, for me, I'd have to say it's my Mariki-Ru Barret deck. I built it many, many years ago. I love the idea of it. You know, I leaned really heavily into the control aspect, running some of my favorite cards like Sphinx's Revelation and the like.
Stealing other people's stuff. That was the control element.
Exactly. So the whole point was I didn't built any win conditions into the deck. I would rely on stealing my opponent's stuff to win the game. You know, I just figured I'd figure it out with their tools, and it was kind of like a puzzle I was figuring out.
Right, and that ties into your I'll draw enough cards and win eventually sort of whole thing, right?
Exactly. And, you know, for a little bit, it was really cool, And the issue that I kind of ran into is very quickly, you know, people don't like getting their stuff stolen. So, you know, my playgroup would end up targeting me first. And so I'd end up not doing a whole lot and it'd be really sad. So I ended up taking it apart, you know, and I was like, you know what, I'll take one for the team and I'll just play something else. So.
Now, was it the only deck that you had at the time or did you have a lot of other things to choose from? Just when that deck came out, people were like, kill him first.
It was not my first deck. I'd been playing Commander for a long time before that. But you know, it was still sad because I invested all that time and that money into it. Yeah. And every now and again, I think about going back to it, but like, then I remember like, I don't know if I'm ready to be that guy again, you know,
but the deck was functional, right? It worked. It's not like it was janky or had too many high CMC cards and all that stuff, right?
Oh no, it worked great.
Yeah.
When I wasn't targeted immediately, the deck functioned how the deck was supposed to function. You know, I had the right amount of card draw, right amount of ramp, all that stuff, everything you would possibly, you know, need, but it was just one of those things where when it was functioning optimally, other people didn't like it.
A little
so.
Oppressive, yeah. Yeah. Did you play it at game stores as well, or did you find this mostly like in your own personal meta?
It was mostly my own personal meta. Me and my friends play at a game store, mm-hmm. so we would occasionally play with randoms, and then during those games, it was a bit less of an issue, but right. anytime I was playing with my friends, they knew what the deck was about, so they're like, nah, we're not having it.
Now, were your other friends' decks, did any of them veer into that control range, or were you kind of like that type of player at the table and the only one there doing that?
One of my other very close friends also enjoys control. I think I kind of pushed him in that direction. I'm like, hey, look at all this cool stuff I'm doing.
good blue player.
Exactly. But I am definitely the one that was like leading the charge when it comes to being the control player. Like I always play the decks where it's like, I will handle the threats on the board. I like being the answers guy, if that makes sense.
I see. Yeah. Well, that's great. I think threat assessment is like one of those things that really is challenging. And being the control player, that's kind of the job you assign yourself to, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I like being that. You know, it's kind of an unfortunate thing when I'm playing like certain decks, certain aggressive decks, where it's like somebody does something and I feel it in my gut and I'm like, I can't do anything about that. And it physically hurts me.
Oh,
but it's
wow.
like when I'm playing my favorite decks, my control decks, I'm like, I can relax. I know I can answer that and that. And I'm having a good day. You know?
I think that's why you're a good editor too then, right? You're kind of lining up your options and knowing how to attack a problem from
exactly,
multiple angles.
Exactly. Like I like figuring out solutions to the problems I'm having, and I like answering those problems, you know.
Good to know. Well, that's great. You're one of the few people that had a functional deck and it worked, but the playgroup and sort of the effect it caused is what made you disassemble it.
Yeah, exactly. My little sister still gives me grief over it to this day. She's like, oh yeah, I remember your Mariki deck, and like I'm like, yeah, I know.
Amazing. Wow, it's become a part of your personality.
Exactly.
Very nice. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Damon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Peace.
All right, okay, and suddenly I have changed clothes because we are recording this on a different day, but we're here with Truck. Truck, do you want to introduce yourself to our fans out there?
Yeah, so I'm Truck. I am pretty new here. I started around a month and a half ago. I am Josh's assistant, so I mostly just help around where I can, provide snacks, moral support, you know, all the good stuff.
He's in charge of all the scheduling and make sure we don't forget things around here. Yeah, snacks, very important job. Thank you, Truck. Our snack game has been up since you got here, so I gotta say, because I used to take care of it, and I'm way less. I have a less imagination for snacks than you do.
Okay,
so.
I take a lot of pride in the snacks.
I know the team is appreciative. Okay, what kind of Magic player are you?
I would say I like doing really cool stuff, mm-hmm. But I like doing it really weird ways. So basically, if you can do a combo in two or three cards with six mana, I will look for a way to do it in with 15 mana. And like seven cards.
Okay. So just strictly worse, but you're trying to do it, pull off similar things, but in more unique ways. How about
that? Yes. I want to do something that you may have likely seen before, like make tokens, make mana, but I want to do it in interesting ways with cards that you may have not seen before.
Okay. So let's talk about a deck that you built but ended up hating.
Yeah. So pretty early on when I got into Commander, I built a Lathril deck. She's Elf Tribal, you know, pretty standard. And for anyone who's ever built a Tribal deck before, especially Elves, it kind of builds itself, kind of. So you just play Mana Dorks, you ramp, you get a bunch of Elves. Your Elves make more Elves, your Elves buff Elves, and then you just hit people in the face and then you win.
But it is a tried and true strategy. It is powerful.
It is very powerful, no doubt. I got a lot of good wins with the deck, but my problem with it was always after a game or two, it felt like I was playing the exact same game plan every time. And if I'm being completely honest with myself,
I'm kind of a hipster, so it feels really boring to be like, okay, guys, for the fourth game in a row, I have 10-1-1 elf tokens, and I play Craterhoof Behemoth, and I win.
Okay. I mean, I get that. So it had sort of a linear play style, or it felt like the each game was not different than the last game.
Yeah, yeah. I would say something like that. I also like just, like, again, I like doing cool things. I like kind of like being contrarian or things like that. So my favorite deck is Obeka. Uh-huh. And I really just love the deck. Because like,
Obeka's not like any other deck.
Exactly, exactly. You get to do so many cool things with the stack and ending turns. And like, I love like putting them on my imaginary glass and like maintaining priority. I end my turn.
So what happened with your Lathril deck? Is it still together or did you take it apart all the way?
No, it's basically all gone now. Like all the elves are still there because I don't, you know, elves aren't as useful in other decks, but I pulled out the good mana dorks for my other green decks.
Use the mana base in another way.
Yeah.
Use the good lands.
Yeah, and then all the good artifacts I pulled out for other decks, you know, I had boots in there.
So you couldn't pick it up and play it tomorrow. It's just, it's gone.
Oh, no, I'd have to. It would take me a long time to put it back together.
You truly hated the deck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate, and like, I love Magic. I don't hate any deck. But like, if you made me play it, I wouldn't be too happy about it.
All right, now I am here with Manson. Manson, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Manson. I'm one of the Game Nights editors here at the Command Zone. And yeah.
How long have you worked here on the team, Manson?
Started here January 2020, right at the new year.
So it's almost 2 years now. Just under in January.
Kind of crazy. Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Yeah. Manson, I mean, you almost exclusively are editing on Game Nights these days, right?
Yeah. I used to work on the podcast for a while, but now transitioned over to Game Nights.
And that's his day all the time. So in the comments, make sure to throw Manson a thank you because I know a lot of people like the show. Okay, Manson, how would you describe yourself as a Magic player?
I think I'm more... Well, I like to be more of a control player, but obviously that's not, you know, something that the table really likes.
People don't tend to give you a lot of love for being a control player?
Yeah, not really.
So does that mean you've changed? Like you don't play control that much or what?
Yeah, not really. I play a little more, I guess, Battlecruiser now where I just have my own board and then do my own stuff while not really interacting too much with anyone else's things.
It's interesting. I'm sure some people have seen Manson on our content. You've been on Extra Turns. The Zada deck was one people liked a lot, or the Polymorph deck.
Yeah.
Polymorph. So definitely some cool stuff. Okay, let's get to the subject at hand here. What is a deck you once built and found out you hated?
So this deck was my Marchesa the Black Rose deck.
So OG Marchesa.
Yep. This was actually one of the first decks I've ever built for Commander, actually. This was like
when you were new to the format?
Yeah, brand new to the format. This was like the first deck I built, and it was all about...
And it's the deck you found out you hated?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the decks...
That's not a deck I would think of. You know, some of these people are going to talk about or have talked about where you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Marchesa just off the top doesn't make me think of like... Not like Jimmy's favorite deck is his Marchesa
right
deck. So yeah, well how'd you build it first of all?
Well, first I built it where I would be stealing everyone's creatures basically with like threatened effects like Act of Treason or whatnot. So
yeah, if you don't know Marchesa, the way it reads is if it has a +1/+1 counter when it dies, a creature you control, it comes back to the battlefield under your control, not under owner's control. So if you can threaten effect somebody's creature, sack it. It was under your control when it died. It'll come back to your control as long as it had a +1/+1 counter.
Yep.
So you were using threatened effects to just steal people's stuff forever.
Right. So I give it a +1/+1 counter with like the dethrone because Marchesa gives everyone dethrone. So that was pretty easy. And then I just steal it. Yeah, basically forever.
That sounds fun.
It was fun for me anyways. Just stealing everyone's commander, everyone's creatures. It was a great time for me, but... Turns out I found out that everyone doesn't really like their, you know, creature stolen. So
is that why you found out you dislike playing it?
Yes, exactly. Because I saw everyone else's faces at the table. They were just like, oh man, this again. You
know? They didn't like it.
Not at all.
So you were receptive to your playgroup. Did they come to you specifically and say it, or you just got the vibe playing it? How many times did you play it before you kind of decided you weren't going to anymore?
So this was like pretty much my only deck for a while because I was still brand new, right? So me and my playgroup be playing for a while and I figured out that, you know, once we played, you know, a couple games, everyone's like, well, here we go again. And you can see, read their body language. They're just slouching, like, back on their phones, like, all right, well, he's going to do the Marchesa thing again, see a lot of creatures.
So what did you do with the deck?
So I actually toned down a lot of the threatened effects for the deck. I still kept a couple because I do enjoy playing with other people's cards.
Yeah.
but now it's more of a reanimation deck.
So you still have the deck, but you just sort of pivoted away from its original theme?
Yes, exactly. Although I don't bring it out much because I found out that Marchesa is still not too fun to play against because it's just so hard to get rid of if it gets a counter.
Yeah, but that feels like every deck now is hard to get rid of.
Yeah, that's kind of true too.
Okay, that's awesome. So the deck still exists. I think a lot of people we've talked to, like, that deck is just gone and they don't play it anymore. But you managed to, like, pivot out of it and just right. be like, okay, I still... How many commander decks do you have now, though?
Maybe like 12 or something.
So a lot.
I haven't kept count too much, but there's just 12. I only rotate around like 5 or 6 that I like enjoy playing.
And is Marchesa in the 5 or 6, or is it outside of that?
No, it's definitely more outside of that because, yeah, people still don't like playing against that card.
Maybe it's just the memory of what happened originally.
Yeah, maybe it was.
All right. So great to hear from everyone at the office. We really hope that you enjoyed meeting some of them for the first time as well. And, you know, for being first time on camera for some of them, they all did great.
I'm they so all happy. Did awesome. All our people are so photogenic and charismatic. It's awesome. We're going to be out of a job soon, Jimmy.
Okay, that's fine. We're being replaced by them. Okay.
So I think it would be interesting before we kind of wrap this up and talk about our takeaways, for you and I to really quickly talk about a deck or two we have that fits the discussion here.
Definitely.
So do you have any decks, Jimmy, that you built and then discovered that you hated?
The first deck that I built but I really don't like was a Super Friends deck with Child Alara at the helm, a 5-color deck.
But that sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, it's not because it blows up everything when Child Alara goes away, and there weren't that many 5-color options at the time, so I was like, this one sounds fun because I'm only going to have planeswalkers. Turns out it's not that fun when everyone just gets wiped the moment it dies. And it, ugh. So this is why it didn't work. But I'd love the idea of Super Friends. This was like 3 or 4 years ago before Oath of the Gatewatch had come out. So I was like, you know what? I think that the interaction between Doubling Season and Super Friends is so cool. You can instantly ultimate your planeswalkers. And I just went directly into that idea specifically. I only put in planeswalkers that could double ultimate immediately with Doubling Season, and I only built in ways to get the Doubling Season out and
all that. The tutors, all that.
Yeah, and it was just so boring because, one, every single person knew what you were trying to do, and it played out the exact same way, or it just completely fell on its face, and I had no creatures, and everyone just attacked me, and I died. So it was like a good idea because I wanted to build a planeswalker deck, a Super Friends deck, but I just didn't have the right sort of like way to make it fun. I just made it very much like by the book. It was almost like a black and white deck, if that makes sense. Like, it was just very clear cut. What are you trying to do? How are you trying to do it? You know, are you going to execute on your plan? Yes or no? If not, you lose. If so, you win. So that wasn't very exciting to me. The deck is still together, but I'm waiting to retool it into a more fun, interactive planeswalker deck.
Jimmy doesn't really ever tech decks apart. He's got some decks in his
so old
thing. They're like, yeah, I haven't seen that deck in like 5 years.
Yeah, and has
there are dual lands in it?
Yeah, there are no 2-mana rocks in it either. Yeah, very old build style. And then another deck that I actually played on game nights that everyone saw, it was a very early game nights. Again, that's the theme here. It was in the Neheb the Worthy. And it was the first time I really built like a tribal deck. I was like, I want to make Minotaur tribal work. But the problem is I didn't really think about the balance in Rakdos because you don't have access to a lot of the ramp and card draw. And I was trying to keep flavorful as well as make it effective, but I just didn't have that balance right. The deck almost never plays well and it never comes together. And so it just always falls flat in its face. And I played Rakdos a bunch of times on game night, so I've just kind of tried to learn the lesson over time. But this was like my first real try at it, and boy, it sucked. And I hate playing it, and it's just not fun because Minotaur is overall not very powerful.
So you hate playing it because it's just not good. The idea didn't come together.
Not good. The tribe isn't even that interesting. We didn't have all the changelings from like Kaldheim and stuff to make it more impactful and all that. And in black-red tribal, just it doesn't feel great unless you're playing like vampires or something.
The other mono-red Neheb is more your speed?
Yeah. The one where I try and kill everyone by turn 3? Yeah, that one for sure. how about you, Josh? Decks you built but you don't like anymore?
Yeah, I have two I'm going to talk about as well, although there's been many.
Yeah.
And we both built this deck. I built a Mizzix deck, and it was an sort of ex-tribal Mizzix deck. And famously, I think early days of this podcast, I would talk about how I just never lost with that deck. And I think I went like the first like 12 or 15 games with it, just never having lost. But it was built around X counterspells, you know, counterspells that make you pay X or more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eventually you're paying only one for those and Mizzix is filling in the X as like 12, 20. Can you pay 37 more? Which I thought was cool. But then I realized what I think a lot of our team members realized, which is that people just didn't like playing against it. It was just too mean. It was just too much of a permission deck. It could get to the point where it could just counter everything for the entire table.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And that's just kind of oppressive. And so, yeah, I eventually did take the deck apart because it had things like Force of Wills and, you know.
Yeah, blue and red, very powerful cards.
Yes, powerful and expensive cards. I don't have, you know, I think I only have 3 Force of Wills. So it's like if one is stranded in a deck I never play, that's not something I want. And then the second deck is a deck I've also talked about on the show a decent amount.
This one's a thing of legends, dude.
It's the Stop Hitting Yourself deck. It was kind of built around Boris Reckoner and some other cards that are basically like, if I have these cards that when they take damage, Brash Taunter's a new one.
Yeah.
When they take damage, it'll do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, and then so I wanted to build a deck that was like the entire point of the deck was to deal damage to my own creatures or own stuff to some effect. And
have that affect the table. And that's the theme you're building around.
Yeah. And it just doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And I think this is the insidious thing about these deck ideas that, like, are kind of flawed concepts are not supported. Is, like, every time a Brash Taunter comes out, I'm like, maybe that'll make the Stop Hitting Yourself deck work. And it's like, no, Josh. About 15 cards have to come out before it'll work, right?
Because I know. I've been talking about like the forced fighting deck for so long. Right. It's like still not quite there.
Yeah, to have a commander deck that, you know, that's a wild concept work, it has to be supported enough. You have to have a high density of the key cards. And that's just a really hard bar to clear, especially as the format keeps getting faster. Like, the Stop Hitting Yourself deck is worse probably now than it ever was, because now you can't even play 3-mana rocks as much, right? Like, it's just the format has sped up because more cards have come out, and I don't know how it... There's no way it functions in a world where Jessica's Wills and Underworld Breaches and Smothering Tithes exist, you know?
Yeah, and you're sitting there trying to make your little Rube Goldberg machine. Yeah. You're like, hey, everyone, look how cool that I'm dead.
Yeah, exactly. Turn 12, I could do something, but the game just won't get there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think have to go into that deck to make it work, and the more you start putting it in, the worse it just gets, because those are slots that should be with better cards or whatever.
Yep, so, okay, so... Pretty interesting to hear from everybody here, and I've made a little list on my phone of whatever, just so we can refer to it here, what everybody said to so many people. So, takeaways. I think, you know, one thing from listening to everybody talk about their decks is we can kind of sort, there's really only like 4 or 5 categories of decks.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people had similar reasons for disliking decks, right?
Yeah, it always sort of boils down to a few of the same key elements, right?
Yeah, so the first one, I think, is the most obvious, which is, you know, my Mizzix deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Damon's Mariki deck.
Damon talked about this. Shauna, which I found was interesting because she's a CEDH player, and I didn't realize that this was actually still a thing in CEDH, which is a deck that's just too mean, quote unquote, something that your opponents don't like playing against.
Yeah,
we heard from a couple people that just like stealing everybody's stuff tends to be something that people don't like. Manson was another person that said that, like, hey, I was playing Marchesa, stealing everybody's stuff, and my playgroup hated it. It's interesting because nobody said I was playing a land destruction deck and everybody hated that.
Right.
Nobody said I'm playing a stacks deck, but stealing just tends to... People hate that more than almost than just like comboing out or destroying their stuff, right?
Yeah, and Damon was talking about control specifically. So he was like the Mizzix deck where he was always permissioning. He was doing the thing where, you know, he loves threat assessment and he's the one deciding is that going to resolve or not. And for him too, he didn't play as much outside of his regular playgroup. So over time, that same deck is just going to feel more and more oppressive and just like, oh, that again. And so I can totally understand why that might make you start to not like it either.
Arthur mentioned an interesting thing when I was talking to him about his Elves deck and how he didn't like it because he saw the path it was going towards and it was really like CEDH. It was going towards too powerful, which I think is kind of the cousin to too mean. You know, some groups want to be more powerful than others, but if you don't want to be in CEDH territory with your deck, then, you know, too powerful almost is similar to being too mean, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's tough with Elves, too, because the more you put Elves in, the more you go into those legacy combo decks that are all trying to win the same way. And then after a while, it's like, can you actually build certain tribes without eventually devolving into that?
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
I'd say the one that people said the most out of all of these is like this the idea for my deck was inherently flawed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your Neheb deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jamie talked about it with Growthama.
Yeah. Too meme-y, too many ideas didn't work out.
But there's this thing where like, oh, this is my stop hitting yourself deck as well. Oh,
yeah.
Murph talked about Asmara and a deck that he just couldn't get to work, even though he tried many times. You know, he said he tried a couple of months to like optimize it and just could never get it to a point where it really felt like it could actually tangle with real decks.
It's kind of like that design theory, like it's either bottom up or top down. And when you start with the idea and build from that, it's actually sometimes just not possible. You
right.
don't have the tools at your assistance.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's just inherently not going to work. You know, everybody has cool ideas, and then you get into an actual game of Magic, a real game, and you realize, oh, this just will not function because the way that games play out, my opponents never let this happen, or I never have this opportunity that in theory I thought I had.
Yeah. It's interesting with Jamie's Growthama deck too, because it wasn't like, I'm going to make it less, you know, I have 20 ideas in here, let's take it down to two and make it more. It's just like, you know what? I'm just not even going to bother. I'm going to do something else entirely, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. If I can't do the cool thing, well, I don't really want to do this deck.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I could turn it into like a big monsters deck, but that's not really what I set out to do.
Right. Right.
I think this one is not so much a problem, right? I think too mean or whatever. But though I like having ideas, trying them out, and it's okay if some of them work and some of them don't, and I just keep the ones that do. I think that's kind of like, it's like kind of the creative process.
Yeah, it's less that you hate your deck at that point. You're more kind of disappointed that your thing didn't come to fruition. It's like the dad.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Your deck's like, whoa,
that's
no!
why I left. There were some interesting answers I found. Jordan and Ashlyn's particularly interesting.
I thought that was really interesting too.
Yeah, because they kind of hated decks for reasons of like, this doesn't match my personality or what I like about playing the game.
Yeah, and that's so important when you sit down. These decks are all supposed to be personal expressions of who you are as gamers. And for Ashlyn, it was like, this deck works. It functions. It wins games.
Powerful, yeah.
It's powerful, but it's just too much mental work. And I, you know, after two or three games of a commander night, sometimes you don't want to have that in your arsenal because it's like, do I want to sit here and have to sit and calculate till end of turn effects? And
yeah, do I
want
to like have
three?
To have like a notepad where I can do the math?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that because I'm actually like Ashlyn where those type of decks I literally steer clear of. Attracts a proliferate stuff.
Yeah, so many counters and all that.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this gets one, this gets two. Oh, crap. Okay, so it doubles and then doubles again, which is, what is this? And it's just like, this is not why I want to be playing.
Yeah, and also takes away from the other decisions that you want to be making that are important. Like, for instance, we just played a game with a coat of arms, and it's like, wait, this affects the whole table. And every time we went to combat, it's like, okay, let's go over every single creature's power and toughness again. This is not like online where the numbers are just written there or game nights.
Yep.
You have to calculate each time and then making mistakes and then going back. It's like, oh, headache.
Yeah. So, and I think some people like that, and that's totally fine.
Yeah,
they would play the Arbo deck or the +1/+1 counter deck. It's just interesting that if you know yourself pretty well, you won't know until you do it, but then you go third and you're like, oh, I don't like this. Like, I don't mind anybody else playing an Arbo deck with 1/1 counters as long as they're keeping track of their own stuff. That's totally fine. But I've definitely like not built the Korval deck because I've watched people do it and I'm like, that's a lot of stuff. It's like this, I sack that, it triggers this, which triggers the thing over here, which this, and then I draw a card, and then you have to sack, and then it's just like, I don't want to do that. I just want to play two cards that let me draw seven cards. That's it.
Yeah, when you said about like in the last round table, you're like, I don't want to build my deck to beat you, I want to play my deck to beat you.
Right.
And sometimes when you have so many things that are happening, it's just like, it's a headache. You don't want to have to sit there and have to calculate and think of all of those elements
I don't know
time.
If this happens to you, but I definitely think about it when we're building decks specifically for camera.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, I am likely to screw that up, which means I'm going to look really stupid because I'm going to get some rules wrong and everyone's going to yell at me. So I will literally not play certain things because I'm like, listen, there's somewhere in that chain of events, I'm going to mess something up and I'm going to look dumb. So I'll just rather put in simpler cards so that it's just easier for me to not make a mistake.
Yeah, you won't see Mizzix's Mastery in your decks anymore.
Oh, man, that was the worst.
And you won't see Garna the Bloodflame in my decks anymore either, as much as before, because it's true. You don't want to be like, oh, shoot. It's the worst. On camera, everyone's sweating. We are in hour four of the game. You're looking at your hand and going, there's like 1,000 options. I just want to swing and attack.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever I do, I'm going to be making the wrong decision. I'm going to get yelled at. Yeah. You don't know the pressures we're under out there, everybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the last takeaways I loved with Murph, especially because you call him a hipster. And it's true, because sometimes we want to feel cool and do things with our deck. And sometimes if it doesn't pan out or if it's too much like, oh, this is just what everyone else is doing. You know, that is a way that we express ourselves to be like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I want to be unique. I want to do something interesting and cool.
Yeah, I don't think any of our team members really underlined this, but I have definitely, I don't know if you were the same way, but I've definitely built decks or been in the process of building decks and just looked at it and been like,
nah,
this is just all the same stuff that a lot of decks run. And so it's not very interesting if every card is just kind of a staple. It's just kind of a good stuff deck. And it's like, no, I want to build, you know, that's why I built the Dragon's Approach deck for the last episode.
Right.
I started to build that Gisa deck. And as I looked at it, it was just like a lot of black good stuff. And it was going to kill everybody's creatures and make War the game long.
Blah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, really? I'm going to play a deck that's just like Damnation, Toxic Deluge, Plague Crafter, like all the cards that everybody's seen a million times. That just didn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, Jamie with his Grothama deck saw that and went, this is such a cool, unique thing, but then went too far into the cool uniqueness.
Like, none of this is good.
Too much of it, and it just spread out apart. Yeah, so there's an interesting balance there in the middle for sure.
Then there's one other thing, and again, I don't think anybody here alluded to it, but as we were talking about it, about this episode with everybody in the office, one of the things we kind of underlined as a reason that people, you know, make a deck and then find out they don't like it is when it does the same thing all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Wins the same way or plays out the same way. Now, again, in CEDH, and a lot of people, they don't mind that. They're just trying to get the win, and that's what they like. And I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, and I don't know if you're like this, but myself included, is like, I like my deck to have some variability. It's not trying to just tutor for the exact same piece and win in the same way every time.
Right, yeah. I think for me specifically, and maybe a lot of people actually, it's more the games are about the journey, not the destination.
Right.
Because even, you know, Jamie said, like, I just want my play styles. I want everyone to have fun. And then hopefully I win at the end.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of my attitude about it too, because I think we've all played now enough to get over the winning itch.
Right. Sometimes you want. I've won some games. I lose some games.
Yeah.
One more win or loss, you know, tonight or tomorrow isn't going to change my overall percentage at all. So
yeah.
Big deal.
And you'd much rather lose while having fun in the game than win while not doing something that you're enjoying either, I think.
I think, you know, that one of the most interesting things about this entire discussion, though, is, well, sort of two things. Is one is what sort of when you think about this, what you discover about yourself, what kind of player you are. We didn't say what kind of players we are. Jimmy, what kind of player do you think you are?
I'm definitely, I like splashy, I like big, but I also like doing stuff that is just like kind of like Craig style, I would call it, because Craig was one of the first people that brought me in the game, which is just like, check out this, blam,
right.
Oh snap, that moment.
Timmy feeling of like, I did something and I want everybody to be like, wow.
Yeah, I'm definitely not like a control player. I don't like sitting and have to make so many individual decisions. I kind of like doing what's on my board and occasionally dealing with things in the whole political aspect too.
I'm a value player, so of course I like to, you know, have a lot of options of things to do. I don't like to ever feel like, well, I have to do this. I can't make a choice because I only have this option in my hand. So that's why I like drawing cards, actually. It's not just for the sake of card draw. It's just feeling. I think I have a feeling of being safe when I have a lot of options at my command. So I guess that is inherently a little bit controlly. I do like to feel safe, like, oh, I can affect things. I have, if this happens, I got this. And if this happens, I got that. And if this happens, I got that. And you can only do that if you have 27 cards in your hand.
Yeah, and you're a real strategist too, I think, which is important because you're the one ultimately, like, I get to make the decisions that determine if I'm going to win this game or not.
Right.
And I think
even though
cool.
That's not always true.
Yeah, true.
You like to feel that way.
Yeah, same with the politics, right? You like to be like, cool, I got to control this and sort of mess it around to make it work for me. And if it didn't work out, then, you know, oh, maybe I can learn something from it, which I think is a big element to your play style too.
So anyway, one of the interesting things about this entire sort of exercise was understanding, I think, as we talk to each person, like, well, but everybody doesn't like the things you like about the game. As you talk to them, you're like, oh, you like different things about the game than I like.
Yeah.
And Garav likes different things about the game than either of us like. And, you know, Jake has his own certain way that he's, you know, makes him happy when he's playing.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with the cards or the style, right? Everyone has his different thing that makes them like or not like things. It's not always a universal.
Yeah, so I think keeping that in mind is actually really healthy and a really good way to understand when maybe things aren't going your way or people are playing in a way. It's like, don't get mad at the person because they have a certain thing they enjoy about the game that they are trying to get to. And this also demonstrates that we're not always good at executing on that. Sometimes we do things that are straight up counter to what we like. And then it's in those moments that we discover that's not what we like. So again, give people a break maybe when they're doing something that you don't like, because A, that might be what they like about the game, but also B, that might be what they don't like about the game and they are learning that in that moment.
In that moment, yeah. I heard this really great quote, which was, you know, like how you deal with problems that you have in your life, and in this case, games. It's like, well, first, write down all the problems you have, cross out the things you can't control, like what you're doing at the table or other people are doing, and just focus on the things you can do.
Right.
So there are moments where it's like, I'm not enjoying what's happening, but maybe I can change a way that I play to actually find more fun in this moment. And that helps you learn a lot more about yourself and what you're in control of. And that ultimately, I think, leads better play experiences.
All right. Very cool. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was fun to get to talk to all of our team members and get an insight into how they think about the game. To the listeners, what is a deck that you built at some point in time in your Commander career and then found out that you hated it?
Yeah, was it because of the any of the numbers, reasons that we listed above? Is there someone in the office that you like really, you're like, yeah, just like that, I'm just like that? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, if you didn't like a deck for a reason that's different than what we listed, we'd love to hear it as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so post in the below, you can Twitter, all that stuff, email, good stuff.
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of any cards for a deck that you might be building that you haven't found out yet whether you like or hated it, just go to Channel Fireball. This is just a good endorsement. Go to channelfireball.com/command or use promo code command. You know, Channel Fireball, we talk about it a lot, has just started their new marketplace. Yeah. And I think the coolest thing right now that's happening is the marketplace is tied to a whole bunch of giveaways.
Yep.
Jimmy and I signed a bunch of Sol Ring promos. They might have given them all away by now. There was like 20, 25 of them, but maybe not. Anyway, there are giveaways every single day in the month of October. If you use the marketplace, you're entered to win for every $10 you spend. But really, the grand prizes at the end are the big ones. Black Lotus. If you want to get that Black Lotus,
boom.
Yeah.
First edition over. Charizard, if you're into that, too.
Yeah. I mean, I would still take it, even though I'm not a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Just because of the value.
I would go buy one $10 Pokemon card and be like, you know what? Let's roll the dice.
Yeah, exactly. So, channelfireball.com/command or use promo code command at checkout.
And big thanks, as always, to Ultra Pro. They supply us with all the awesome game nights pieces that you see when we play, the playmats that are matching the sets, all of the most beautiful art in the world. I have a Jesper Icing playmat in front of me. And,
Rossum,
you know, we like Jesper so much that we were like, Jesper, we need you to make a playmat with us.
So we can print it on an Ultra Pro playmat.
Yeah, and so you can always get that art from the same artist from Ultra Pro because they are the ones that have that official license, and they make all the best game pieces to protect your stuff, including that Black Lotus you're going to win from Channel Fireball, right?
Yeah, put that thing in an Eclipse sleeve for sure,
and
whoever wins it.
Wait, don't.
You know what? I just realized we cannot win the Black Lotus. No, it would look really weird.
No.
I'm so sad about that.
I feel bad. Well, every time that we make a purchase, if we don't actually enter in the raffles, you know, so it'd be weird if I got my own signed Sol Ring in the mail. So it's fine. We're doing it for you, the people out there.
Jimmy's
so
just going into all his deck signing his Sol Rings.
I'm like, hey, Josh, Neheb, sign my Sol
Neheb
Ring.
Deck sign.
Oh, maybe I'll like playing this deck now.
All right. Now it's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. First, I was going to put down Squid Game, but then I realized like everybody already knows about it.
Yeah, no one needs to. I don't want to hear more about Squid Game.
It's the most talked about thing in the world right now. But I was curious, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't.
Okay, so me neither. I was curious what your thoughts are leading up to the new movie release, which will be, I think, this week, this Friday as you're watching this, Dune.
Specifically with the U.S., because it has actually come out across the world.
Yep.
So I like to read reviews, and I try not to get hyped up.
Sorry, preliminary question. Have you read the books?
I have read the book.
Okay.
Book, not the books.
Right.
The first one.
Oh, yeah. You're smart.
some of the laziness.
The first one's way better than the... Okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Ender's Game 2, same exact.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the Dune sequels are better than the Ender's Game sequels. Sorry. All right.
Not high bar. Okay.
Okay. Dune, so you've read the book.
I read the book.
So you're a fan of the world.
Yeah, I like the world a lot. It's one of the most iconic sci-fi franchises ever. However, I have avoided every adaptation of it. Because I've
heard... never saw the other ones?
No, because I've heard awful things about all of them.
I mean, the 1984 movie is really bad, yeah.
Yeah.
1984? I hope that's what it is.
Oh, if it is, then you're a genius. That's great. So I haven't seen any of that stuff, but I think the director is really good for this new adaptation. So Denis Villeneuve, he did Blade Runner 2049. He did Arrival. He has just amazing work, and he has that great cinema quality to all of his stuff. I love Oscar Isaac, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya. The cast looks really good. Jason Momoa, right? So I have... Typically, I try not to have high expectations, but I got pretty high expectations for this movie.
Because I think it's going to be bad, but it's just, it's so much safer to go in with like moderate or low expectations and be and be blown away by it.
Especially considering the history of the projects in the past.
And you've read the book, so you know that like how hard it, like.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking about the book, it's like, how do you even do it?
Yeah, there's so much that you can get. The reason I didn't like the Harry Potter movies is because the books were able to describe things in a way that the movies could never even come close to showing me and making me feel. So I think Dune has a lot of that too.
But you know, not to spoil you, because I haven't read a lot of reviews, but I know that they've been generally positive.
Generally favored, though, yeah.
And I'm trying really hard not to get excited for that reason.
No.
But it looks sweet.
It does.
Like, it looks beautiful.
And I guess, you know, even though it's going to be on HBO Max and stuff too, this is a movie that I would... go out to try and safely see in the theater, for sure.
I would prefer, and I'm going to try to see it in the theater. It feels like it's going to be big and loud. I want to feel that worm you know, worm sign. I want my seat to be shaking when that thing comes out.
Yeah.
Definitely. So hopefully we can make that happen.
Fingers crossed. Now, if we have some international viewers that have seen it, don't spoil it for us in the comments, but know that we're jealous. And
whether you thought it was awesome or not.
There you go.
Yeah. Get our hopes up so that they can be dashed.
Dang it. Like our decks.
We are not sponsored by HBO Max. I think we might have been for something in the past, but currently we are not. We just, you know, Dune's fun to talk about. I hope it's good. I love the book. It's a cool world.
It is a cool world. And if you haven't read the book, that is something that we can reliably recommend.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Frank.
Okay.
Big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone. Boy, we have
grown. Who you just met, a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's... Arthur Meadowcroft, Lady Danger, Manson, Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Walda, Garav Galadi, and our newest team members. Welcome them to the team. Truck Ty, Jamie Block, Damon Lenz, Shauna Gills, and Evan Limburger.
Evan actually starts on Monday, but at the time you're watching this, that will have been yesterday.
We'll have to ask him what his decks that he built are that he hates as well.
Maybe we'll just snip that into like a future episode that's not even about that.
Absolutely. And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. He does the living card animations that often leave us behind us on the set. But more importantly, start our show at youtube.com/TheCommandZonePodcast. You can find him on Twitter at livingcardsmtg.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And we'll see you next time.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.